Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Mentally yours. Welcome back to Mentally Yours, Metro.co.uk's weekly podcast about all things mental health. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Yvette. And today we're going to be chatting to Mark Whittle. He's a performance and purpose coach and the founder of podcast Take Flight. We're going to be chatting to him about burnout, breathwork and cold water therapy.
I've experienced burnout a couple of times, actually. I think when I reflect on why, which I always think is a good place to start, I've got the type of personality who's a hyperachiever, want to get things done, which comes from various places, personality or upbringing, etc. But it led me to living a lifestyle which felt like I had my foot all the way down on the gas pedal, but also on the brake at the same time, and just never having a break. And it just built up over time, day by day, week by week, month by month. And you gradually become accustomed to this lifestyle, which is just overworking your body nonstop. But you don't think there's anything wrong with it because you've just slowly got used to that over time. And I eventually had a collapse, actually, in King's Cross Station. I felt like I had, actually, it's ironic as I'm looking at my computer, but if when you have a million tabs open on your web browser, which I always do because I'm disorganized, it felt like that, you know, when it just shuts down and it forces itself to quit. That's what happened. And it was a big wake up call and a time to reassess what I was doing in my life.
What exactly happened at the station?
So what exactly happened was I felt a bit strange. I'd felt particularly tired, more than usual, like a couple of days beforehand. And I kind of stood up and I felt really lightheaded. I've never felt like this before. It's really rare for me to feel like that. So I noticed it immediately. And then that shutdown feeling. And I didn't collapse, like smash into the floor, but I went down onto one knee and I just like couldn't really see. All of my hearing went really, really quiet. Took a couple of minutes to come round, and I just sort of went and sat on one of the seats over at the side. And then I had another incident a couple of days later, because of course, as a hyperachiever, I didn't listen to my body first time round. The second time was at home, and then I went to the GP, and they said, yeah, you're experiencing sort of severe burnout and you need to take a break.
Were you surprised when your doctor said that it was burnout, or were you kind of like, no, this makes sense, like it definitely adds up?
I was actually quite relieved, because my mum had a brain tumour six, I think at the time it was maybe 6 or 7 years previous. And I immediately went to worst case scenario. I thought, oh shit, this is going to be the same as that. Because I'd watched my mum have periods of kind of memory lapse or moments like this. Actually, we were once in the car and she picked me up from the airport and I had to grab the wheel and put her into the hard shoulder because she had this moment of kind of what I felt. So I just immediately thought the worst. So yeah, I was actually quite relieved, oddly.
What was the work you were doing at the time, if you don't mind me asking, and like job wise?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I was working in the city, extremely high pressure, the kind of snake pit, that typical chasing money, corporate environment. And I hated it, number one. So energetically, I wasn't, you know, positive about what I was doing day to day. But I was also building my business, which I work full time on now, Take Flight. So I was trying to balance the two things at once. I'd also just moved out of London. My wife was 4 or 5 months pregnant. And there was a load of other stuff going on. So I was kind of trying to spin some very heavy plates all at once.
So once you were diagnosed and you figured out what was going on, what was the next step? Were you able to actually take a step back or did you kind of continue pushing yourself too hard?
Yeah, what happened was I had to, because I actually, from that moment on, it was strange. The moment I actually stopped, then my body completely shut down. And I was at a point where I actually couldn't get off the sofa for, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks. Even walking to the kitchen felt difficult, which was so strange given that I'm in the gym most days and charging around to meetings, back-to-back coffee meetings all over the city. Literally a couple of days after this incident, I was struggling to get from my living room to the kitchen. So yeah, I was forced to stop and slow down. And I went through an intense period of recovery during that month of completely switching my phone off, deleting all my phone apps, because I think I just overstimulated my brain. And I was just sleeping a lot of the day. I fell back on the practices that I know work for people who I coach now and that I'd use all my life, but kind of parked for that period: meditation, cold showers, breath work, etc. I actually look back on it quite fondly, just having that period just to completely recover and look after myself.
And what kind of advice did you get from the GP, or was it just, you know, stop now and take a break?
It was quite minimal, to be honest. It was pretty much rest. Fortunately, I'd done enough research and the podcast and the business had been going on about two and a half, three years at that point. I knew what had happened. I just needed somebody else to tell me. And I could probably, if I really think about it, feel it coming on as well. It just took something to make me pay attention.
So you mentioned in there already about breath work, cold water therapy, and meditation. Can you tell us a bit more about the cold water therapy? Because I don't think we've chatted much about that on the podcast before. What is that and how has it helped you?
Yeah, of course. It's something I do every single day. It's become more and more popular over the years, but it's something I've been doing the last 5, 6 years. So, and I'll just caveat this. If people are suffering with burnout or stress or long-term illnesses, these invisible illnesses, fatigue, etc., then maybe it might not be great for you, because it is an acute stress. But essentially what we do is, as human beings, we grow when we face adversity, difficulty, challenge. And the beautiful thing about cold water is that that can be a simulated stress that we can put on ourselves, which means we can, in a controlled setting, as long as we're not going too cold or not spending too long in there, we can simulate stress, which allows our body to adapt slowly over time. So there's that benefit. We build a muscle to manage this acute level of stress so that in our day when we face real life stress, we're better at handling it. And we also get a chemical release as well. So we get a number of releases, but the main one being norepinephrine, a form of adrenaline, which is great for wakefulness. It's really good for focus, which is why it's a good thing to practice in the morning. It feels like a natural high. There's also other benefits physically, where we talk about reducing swelling, inflammation of the joints, muscles, etc.
So do you just every morning have an ice cold shower?
Well, I actually have a normal shower. So I have my normal hygienic shower, nice and hot, just like how most people like it. And then when I'm finished, I will just turn it all the way around to freezing cold.
How do you get past the bit, because I've I've tried this before and I just hated it.
Mm.
Like, I just felt like it was such a horrible experience. I don't want to do it again. How do you get past that? Or is it just some people are just not meant for cold showers?
No, I mean, Ellen, I would ask you, how do you get past anything that you find uncomfortable?
Mm. That's true. I don't. I normally just give up.
Well, that's the key to, you know, especially the people that I work with who want to achieve big goals that they set themselves. Like, when we find something uncomfortable, recognizing that it is hard and actually just appreciating the challenge ahead of you is a good way to start to build a really strong mindset. So it's literally, you know, the term stick with ability. So it is awful at the beginning. As I said, I've been doing it for years. So at the beginning, it was horrible. And I'd do it a few days and I'd stop doing it. I'd be like, why am I doing this? But over time, I crave it now. If some mornings I just forget because I'm in my own head and I just turn it off and I'm like, shit, I didn't do it. And I'll step back in and I'll turn it cold and I'll do it because my body craves it now. I feel it's like missing my morning coffee. If I do that, I notice the difference. So I just have to do it every day. So if it's uncomfortable, just stick with it like anything in life and you will get something from it.
I think if it was me, I'd find a way to make it fun. But the thing is, I've got friends who do the whole, you know, they go swimming in the river in the morning, or, you know, people who go for a swim in the sea. And I can definitely see the appeal of that because then you're in nature. But I think, yeah, there's something about the shower that feels harder somehow. You know, like if you're on holiday and someone says, oh, let's jump in a lake, that's quite fun. But if it's, turn the shower down. I'll tell you
exactly what I'm dealing with at the moment, just on a related note, is that our boiler is messed up. So basically the shower will go ice cold for like a couple of seconds, then briefly hot and then cold again. And for me, that is horrible. But I do appreciate that the advice of like, just stick with it and push through is definitely good. But just my immediate thought is no.
Yeah, no, I get it completely. And if you had practiced it, Ellen, then now you'd be completely comfortable when it flips the cold. But I'd also say, you know, Yvette, you mentioned there, it's easier when there's something fun about it, you make it fun, right? But for me, I just feel better afterwards. So that's the only motivation that I need now. At the beginning, yes, it was horrible and I hated it. But it's at the point now when I've stuck with it long enough that I just know I feel better afterwards. So when we talk about mental health, that's why I practice it.
Can you tell us a bit about the breath work as well? Because I'm always interested to hear about breath work, because I feel like it's something I should be doing more of. Do you have certain practices you do daily, or do you kind of keep them for times where you're sort of suffering from quite a lot of stress?
I have different ones I lean on in different times, I suppose. There's really short, quick, easy ones that I can talk through, which I use more reactively. Like if I'm feeling really stressed or overwhelmed, or I've been sat on my laptop for, you know, extended period of time or all day sometimes. So studies have shown that we only need to do 6 breaths in order to shift from our sympathetic to our parasympathetic nervous system. Our sympathetic is our stress, our fight, flight or freeze response. The parasympathetic is the rest and digest response. So by literally breathing 6 times, and it sounds ridiculous, but when you do it, you notice the difference even after 3. Fully inhale, not too aggressively, but fairly aggressively, that you know it's a big difference. Fully inhale all the way in through your nose, fill up your lungs as far as you possibly can, and then fully exhale all the way out to the bottom, all the way out. You'll feel like you finished, but you haven't. Keep exhaling. And the first one will feel really sticky and a bit uncomfortable, then the second one feels a bit easier. And you just do that 6 times, and you'll feel the shift chemically. And then there's other stuff like the Wim Hof, which is really popular. They're slightly longer sessions. You can do 15 minutes. I do transformational breath work. Probably not as much as I should do, but maybe once every 3 to 5 or 6 months, which is longer, sort of 2-hour sessions, which you can get real emotional release from when you've built up stress over a period of time. You can have like a mass emotional dump, which they're pretty intense, which is probably why I avoid and resist them at times, because they are uncomfortable, but you go back in there and again you feel like a new person afterwards. This afternoon I was just doing, as I've been on the laptop all day, just a really simple one, just noticing and the feeling of the air as I inhale and exhale on the tip of my nose, thinking more about the temperature as I inhale, the temperature as I exhale. And what that does is shifts it's a focal point essentially. It's like meditation when you have a mantra or something like that. They're all kind of similar forms, and it just shifts the way that your brain works. It changes the activation of the brain to more of the prefrontal cortex, the rational thinking part, rather than the emotional limbic brain, which is where we start to get stressed and worried and spiral.
This is great. I'm trying very hard not to do the six breaths at the moment.
I was about to say, like, I apologize to listeners that can now hear us heavily breathing, because I always feel like the second someone says, like, deep breaths, I just have to do it. I just feel really conscious suddenly of, like, how I'm breathing and how I'm not breathing properly. So I apologize to anyone bothered by this.
So, Mark, tell us about your podcast and also the work that you do now. Now you sort of moved away from the snake pit, as you put it.
Yeah, so I started the podcast about 4 years ago. It's called Take Flight. It was a period of frustration, unfulfillment, possibly depression, certainly anxiety, where I was just in that sort of persona that I'd built for myself as a hyperachiever, you know, someone who just cared about earning money and materialism. And I just had a bit of an awakening, I suppose, at a point where I realized that wasn't what I wanted long term. And the dreams that I'd aspired to achieve didn't fulfill me or make me feel better than I did before I had them. So I started the podcast because I listened to lots myself. At the time, that was quite a unique thing to do. There wasn't many people who weren't celebrities, or I know you guys have been going quite a while actually as well, but there wasn't many people outside of kind of celebrities, and mostly it was like popular American podcasts that people listened to. Now everyone starts one, so it's not a bit that much of a big deal, but at the time it felt like a leap of faith. And ended up speaking to a lot of business founders, celebrities for want of a better word, and some of the top athletes in the world, and learning more about what they felt had led to their success. For me, they looked like happy, successful, fulfilled individuals from the outside in. I wanted to learn more about why. So it started off as a bit of a selfish pursuit of stealing their way of living. And then as I grew beyond that and put my ego to the side, I recognized how much I could help other people by sharing these lessons too. And that's where it started, and it sort of organically grew into a coaching business. My dad is a coach and has been for a long time, coached me since I was an early teen, goal setting and all these sorts of things. So I did it kind of on the side because I just knew the exercises, the practices, and had that kind of mindset. But then, and I actually resisted and avoided doing that because I didn't want to follow my dad's footsteps in everything, because I did in a lot of things. But now, yeah, I kind of finally just woke up to the fact that that's one of my callings, is to work with people one-to-one. And I love that. I work with some athletes, professional footballers and CEOs. And it's amazing. I love doing the work with them and seeing their growth. And then we also do events, which I'm very happy to say that the first one is scheduled in for the 7th of October. So all going well, we can finally have some live events again and have some amazing stories and have people connect and meet one another and hopefully create more stuff off the back of coming to the event.
On the theme of being selfish with the initial motivations, what are some of the lessons that you learned initially from doing the podcast, and how have you kind of applied those to the way that you live your life?
So I suppose they've changed a lot over time. At the beginning, I was really keen on speaking kind of what we spoke about a little bit today, about practices, morning routines, what they feel led to their success. And that was amazing. And I loved practicing those things myself, trying them myself in my life. And a lot of those things I've continued to practice. But I suppose as time's gone on, it's been less about performance and more about purpose and understanding what we want to do. You know, as long it feels like a short time that we're here, but we actually have quite a long time to be here and have a lasting impact and leave a legacy, if people want to call it that, but certainly ensure that we're doing the thing that we care about and the thing that we want to do while we are here. I just recognize the people that I speak to, and I don't want to say this lightly, because I just think I take it for granted because I speak to the same types of people all the time, but the people I speak to are very much on a mission. They know who they are and where they want to go. And I think that the old world that I came from, people are stuck in a mindset of what they believe is important. The best thing about the pandemic, in my opinion, is that it has given a lot of people the opportunity to have that awakening moment and see that perhaps that isn't the life they want to live. So yeah, I'd say that it started off as performance and learning like hacks and tricks and productivity tools and ways we can be better in our life day to day. And it's ended up being way more about purpose and how we can make the most of our time here.
Well, that's leading on to the next question then, isn't it? Can you give our listeners any tips That's quite a difficult question to just fling at you, but there you go.
No, I love it. I mean, look, this is stuff that I do with people and it can take months and years sometimes and it changes, and that's okay as well. But everybody should start with understanding who they are, which is a massive, massive question. And most people avoid asking this because it's confusing, it's scary, it's, you know, we talked about it earlier, it's uncomfortable. But we're all conditioned from our very early ages. We're trying to figure out who we are in our younger years, and our experiences, traumatic or otherwise, our teachings from parents, you know, school teachers, sports coaches, all impact us and shape the way that we view the world over a period of time. And then that helps us in our youth, right? That's our survival mechanism. That's what allows us to understand that we are on this planet called Earth, and we're operating in this system and organization and way a society, the way the society has been built. That's how we understand it. But then those survival mechanisms don't serve us as much when we're adults. And a lot of our anxieties and mental health conditions are because of our conditioning. So we need to start to look at who we are. And that starts with understanding where we came from and understanding what our wiring or coding is. And once we've done that, then we can really start to understand who we want to be. Because a lot of that coding and wiring has led us into lifestyles that perhaps we don't necessarily want anymore. So then once we've done that, we can start to think about who we want to be. And who we want to be, again, comes back to that, right? What makes us feel purposeful? And there will be examples in your life where people have felt like that. So listeners will have felt like that at times. It might have been when you were younger. It might be when you're playing sport. It might be at a particular point in your job or career, or when you're presenting, or where you're definitely not presenting. There'll be examples in your time when you feel lit up, you feel energized by what you're doing. And you need to lean into those things. If you can't find examples, then get out there and start trying as many things as possible. And you also need to be really clear with the goals, right? So once you start getting out there and figuring out what's working, keep a track of it. It sounds boring, but track what you're doing and just lean into the things that you like, you know, lean into the things that make you feel good. I use a term called following the breadcrumbs. So try something, you like it, pick up the breadcrumb, you know, try it again, pick up the breadcrumb. And my version of that started with the podcast, right? So I launched it. I really enjoyed it myself. That was my first breadcrumb. And then I released it. It actually got way more listens than I anticipated it getting. That was another breadcrumb. And then I got a couple of pro athletes on, which was another breadcrumb because it almost gave me credibility. And 10 episodes in, we got to number one in the charts. That was another breadcrumb. So I was like, this is something. This feels like something, and something's happening. And then that was my responsibility to continue to do it after that. I hope that helps. That's a lot to take in like 90 seconds.
No, that's super helpful. Not to be a massive downer, but I'd love to ask your thoughts on people who might be scared of trying those things, or kind of worried about, okay, I found my purpose and I'm going to go for my goals, but maybe they're scared of failing or things not working out. How do you deal with that fear, and what can you do if things do go wrong?
Yeah, so we're all scared of failing. Every single one of us is scared of failing. So if you're listening to this and you are fearful of failing, you're the same as everybody else. But some people listen to that fear more than others. So it's the same thing as coming out of a cold shower, right? Or turning it cold in the first place. We all have that voice in our head that says, don't do it. But some people ignore it and some people don't. And that's a muscle just like anything else. So you go into the gym and you build your biceps, and the bigger your biceps are, it just shows that you've been in the gym doing more bicep curls. If you are likely to listen to that voice less, it just means that you've ignored it more times in your life. That's another reason why cold showers are great, because the more that you turn that cold, the more that you're winning that negotiation with yourself. And then that can kind of transfer into other areas of your life.
Can you tell us a bit about your work with Calm?
Yeah, of course. I'm an ambassador of Calm. They're a fantastic mental health charity that support or try to reduce the number of suicides in young adults. And it's been an absolute pleasure. You know, I've worked with them for probably 3 years, collaborations on all sorts of different things. And it's one of those things that I promised to myself that when I do the work and hopefully, you know, people listen to it, then I will always share my story to try and help other people who might be struggling speaking up.
So this is goodbye from Mentally Yours. So go away, enjoy your day, get on with all your chores from Mentally Yours.
If you've been affected by any of the issues we've discussed today, you can give the Samaritans a ring on 116 123.
If you like Mentally Yours, you can also find us on Twitter. We're at MentallyYRS. We also have a lovely Facebook group, which is just called Mentally Yours.
And if you really liked us, you could do us a massive favour and give us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It's much appreciated. Helps us, you know, continue doing what we're doing. So please do rate and review and check back in next week for more Mentally Yours.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.